Picking up where we left off last week in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 18 and go on through verse 25. And I'd like to suggest that as you listen this morning to these words that were written by Paul, that you keep in mind that everybody Paul knew, everybody he was writing to, was either a Jew or a Greek. Everybody, Jew or Greek. So here we go in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 18. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The message about the cross is that God loves the world so much that God gives away everything, position, status, dignity, even life, to make God's love known and to unleash its transformative power. Jesus, God's Word become flesh and living among us, died on a cross because his presence threatened those who wanted to keep the world in the tight grip of their own oppressive control. He took their rage upon himself. He was crucified. Where is the sense or the power in that? I'm going to tell you a story. The land was covered in snow, sort of like Connecticut. And in this land, a man named Rom was driving his donkey cart to the city, where he hoped he might find work. Times were hard, and his donkey was as tired and as skinny as he was and kept stumbling in the snow. Rom was grumbling and complaining and urging his donkey onward and hitting his hands together to try to keep them warm. He looked up the road, and there, just a ways ahead, he saw a person walking through the deep drifts. It was easy to recognize this person. Rom had known her all his life. She was an old peddler woman, and she heard that cart coming along the road and lifted her arm in greeting and relief. Thank the heavens, she said, a cart going in my direction. You can give me a ride. She walked around the donkey and climbed up into the cart, and Rom knew it was useless to argue. But he said, I am following the road straight to town, where work has been promised to me. I will not turn aside for any purpose at all. I'm going to the Kestry house, the peddler woman announced. Well, I'll take you as far as the crossroads, said Rom, but you have to walk the rest of the way on your own 2 feet. I'm taking a doll to the little Kestry girl, explained the peddler. I've been meaning to take it for about a month now, but I kept putting it off because I was waiting for better weather. I was waiting for my joints to stop hurting. I should have known not to expect a day like that would ever come. But I got a message that the Kestries have saved up enough money to buy this doll for their little girl. And so I'm finally on my way. The little girl has never had a doll before. Would you like to see it? No, said Rom, feeling envious of anyone who had money to spend on a doll. I'm looking forward to a little bit of food and wood for my fire, said the old woman. That's what I'll do with the money, and I'll thank God for it. I think God has abandoned us, said Ram. Everybody I know has been cold and hungry for so long, we can hardly remember the good times. And after that, the two fell silent and remained silent as the donkey plodded along in the snow. When he reached the crossroad, Ram stopped the cart so that the old woman could get out. He looked over and saw that she had fallen asleep. He thought about the job that he had been promised in the town. He worried that if he didn't get there in time, someone else would take it. And then, looking at his donkey, who was still putting one foot in front of another in spite of the exhaustion and the storm, he told himself not to be a fool. I am a fool, he said to himself as he pulled the donkey's head in the direction of the Kestri house and away from his destination. Mrs. Kestri heard the sound of the cart and was out the door of her small house in a flash. Before she could even reach the gate, the cart had gone on and the peddler woman was coming up the path. Mrs. Kestri welcomed the peddler woman into the cottage and the peddler looked around for the little girl. Well, she's in bed, explained the mother. It's easier for me to keep her warm that way. Well, then I'll show you what I brought, said the peddler. It's the doll you asked for. I got word that you had saved enough money. I can't buy this doll, said the mother sadly. Why not? Asked the peddler woman. It's got silky hair, a beautiful dress, perfect little shoes. Oh, it's perfect, said the mother, reaching out to touch the doll. But my money's gone. My husband was sick. We spent it all on a doctor and on the medication. He hasn't been able to work. I used up all the last of my flour yesterday. When these two loaves of bread are gone, we have nothing. The peddler woman got up to leave. She was terribly disappointed. She thought about the long walk home, about the cold hearth and the empty cupboards she would find when she got there. She wondered if she could possibly make it to the town. Maybe she could find someone there who would buy this doll. And then she saw the longing in the mother's eyes, how she wanted to give some happiness to her little girl. She remembered Ram, who had gone out of his way and risked being late to the promised job in order to bring her to the door. Don't be a fool, she said to herself as she turned and handed the doll to the mother. Give this to your little girl, she said. Pay me when times are better and you have the money. And before she could change her mind, the peddler was out the door. That night, when the mother and the father and the radiantly happy little girl were eating their simple supper of cabbage soup and bread, a beggar came knocking on the door. Mrs. Kestri knew this man, and she was not happy to see him. Go away. We have nothing for you here, she said. I'm hungry, said Baron. Aren't we all? Said Mr. and Mrs. Kestri. And then their eyes fell upon the doll and on the shining eyes of their daughter. Mrs. Kestri reached for a loaf of bread and a knife. Don't be a fool, she said to herself as she started to slice the bread. Then she stopped slicing and handed the beggar the whole loaf. Baron never even said thank you. He ran into the woods with his treasure and began to stuff sweet morsels of bread into his mouth. The stars came out and the moon shone down, and the little birds began to gather around Baron's feet. No crumbs for you, he said, trying to wave the birds away. These are my crumbs. One star was shining brighter than the others. In its light, Baron could see how thin and how hungry the little birds were. Don't be a fool, he said to himself. I need this bread. Then he remembered what he had seen in the Kestri house, how little food they had, and how they'd shared it with him. He took a piece of bread and began to crumble it into the snow, and the birds pecked and chirped with joy. I am a fool, he said to himself. What do you think? Were the man with the mule, the peddler with the beautiful doll, the mother with the sick husband, the beggar in the forest, were they all fools? And what about my friend Skylar, the pastor of a church in San Francisco? And Skylar went to the church on the afternoon of Christmas Eve so that he could have plenty of time to get ready for that evening's worship services. As he arrived at the door, he was met by a homeless man that he knew who wondered if there was anything to eat in the church kitchen. Pastor Schuyler took the time to actually cook the man a complete steak dinner. After the man had eaten and gone, Schuyler discovered that the church's projector had gone with him, and there would be no PowerPoint presentation to guide the songs and the prayers that evening. Was Schuyler a fool to be so hospitable? Or what about the member of this church who gave a beloved old van to a struggling family so that they could have a vehicle to drive which would bring them to their new life in another state? They'd been promised a job and a place to live. They expressed appreciation for this gift and went on their way. A few months later, the donor of the van received an official notification from another state that the vehicle had been abandoned by the side of the road. The recipient of the gift had never followed through on getting it re-registered, and so the original owner was still financially and legally responsible. Was the effort to help a foolish gesture? Or what about Oswald Golter? Was he foolish? Many years ago, Oswald served as an agricultural missionary in China. And after years of work, the missionary board back home finally gathered together enough money to send Oswald so that he could pay a visit back to his home. In those days, before airplanes, the way one traveled great distances was by steamship. And so Oswald got on the steamship out of China, and he got to India, where he had to make a transfer at a port city there. And while he was on the docks there in India, he happened upon a group of refugees that were living in a warehouse. These refugees were having a terrible time finding any city or any country that would accept them. And so they had become stranded and were living indefinitely in this warehouse. It happened that it was right around Christmas time. And so after meeting these refugees, Oswald asked them what they wanted for Christmas. "Oh, we're not Christians," they answered. "We don't celebrate Christmas." "Well, yes, but there must be something that you want," Oswald persisted. And so finally they mentioned a certain type of pastry that they really liked to eat. And so the missionary went out and searched the city until he found a bakery that sold this specific type of pastry, and he cashed in his ticket home so that he could buy these pastries, these wonderful treats, along with basketfuls of food, and deliver them to the refugees with the words, "Merry Christmas." Later, someone who clearly thought Oswald had been a fool said to him, "What in the world were you thinking? Those refugees don't even believe in Jesus." "I know," Oswald answered, "but I do." When we believe in Jesus, sometimes we do things that look like a big mistake by the world's standards. What we do might even look foolish to us. But that's okay, because the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We proclaim Christ crucified for us and for the world while we were yet sinners. And the message may well be a stumbling block to some and folly to others, but we have come to understand that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Not everybody receives what Christ has to offer, but Christ gives it anyway. And so we know that God's love for us and for all the world is unshakable. We want nothing more than to be able to share that love and grace and mercy with others. Creator God, when the seeds of your kindness and grace are scattered, we never know where, when, and how long it will take before the seeds sprout, grow, blossom, or bear fruit. We trust these developments to your care, O God, And we ask that you would help us to scatter the seeds with glad and generous hearts. Lord Jesus, when your love and mercy rain down upon us, may we receive these life-saving gifts with gratitude and with willingness to be shaped and even transformed by your loving word. Eternal Spirit, to us the power of the cross is the power to remain steadfast and to find our health and hope and wholeness in you. The power of the cross is the power to insist on justice and cling to peace until the world is moved into alignment with your good and beautiful vision. We pray today for all who suffer, that they might be comforted. We pray for all who are hard-hearted, that a window of light might open, or a river of grace emerge, and bring the change that God's will would desire. We join our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.